Well, I'm so glad we're covering family matters. You know, I found out that I needed the review myself. I'd like to say you can pick up on this and you'll never need to hear this again. But the truth is, as long as you live in a fleshly body and the flesh pulls away from God, you're going to have to review this over and over again. I've been teaching this off and on for many years, but haven't taught it recently. And I found out the review was very good for me. Now, Wayne and I have been married 40 years. I met him when I was 16. He just graduated from high school. And we dated 3 years, which was probably 2 years too long. I don't know. I'm not for all of that length of time, most of the time. But I adored him. And after 40 years, I haven't changed my mind. Now, the fact that I adored him didn't make him easy to live with. You understand that? And the fact that he was in love with me didn't make me easy to live with. I've said for years, I'm a shouter, Wayne's a pouter. I mean, if things go wrong, I have words. I have things to say. I could win an argument when I was wrong. I could. First of all, I'm persistent and he yields quickly. And then I just had a way to corner you with words. And he isn't going to say much. Well, over the years, I've become a great pouter. I learned that from him. You know, the people you associate with, you become like? I said, I can pout in technicolor. I mean, I can really pout. Now, Wayne pouts only for a short period of time, and then he's totally forgotten it. He doesn't understand what's wrong with you. And I want to say it's because you said that I said that you said that I said, and then you said that I said. And listen, oh boy. So we have to go back to the Word over and over and over again and remind ourselves that we're different. Something happened when God came in on the inside. He changed us. You know, I was thinking about the Easter song, Up from the Grave, He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. Well, when we go through the Scriptures on love and make a commitment. See, Wayne and I were committed. We were in love. We were committed to one another. But you know, it takes more than commitment. It takes change. It takes change. Well, we can resurrect some things that have died. I believe by the power of the Spirit of the living God and the truth of the Word of God, some things that have passed away can be rekindled in your marriage and in your relationships. In fact, I know that. You know God is great big. Did anybody ever tell you that? Hallelujah. This is not a puny little half-hearted outfit. This is God and company. Amen. God and company. I was at a meeting. It's amazing what God can do. You know, we say it is no secret what God can do, and then we don't tell it, we keep it a secret. But I was at a meeting, and I met two ladies I remembered from the same church, and I said, how are you sisters, meaning sisters in the Lord, because I knew I'd seen them in the same place. And they thought that I thought they were blood sisters, you know. I have one sister, and so they thought that's what I meant, but it wasn't what I meant. But anyway, they laughed. She said, we're not really sisters. And before I could say I know that, she said, well, we are somewhat related because when I divorced my husband, she married him. And she said we were best friends before she married him. We're best friends still. Now, I'm going to tell you, God is great big. Now, I'm not promoting divorce. I don't ever promote divorce. But that's great big. I'm talking that's really big. God's a great big, wonderful God. I've been to churches where the first wife, the second wife, the first set of children, second set of children, and the husbands, both husbands, all go. I'm talking about this is God and company. This is a tremendous outfit full of tremendous power, and the Word of the living God will right every wrong. Now, if you're divorced, you're divorced. You can't unscramble eggs. There's life after divorce. But if you're not divorced, you're not going to do it. And if you've been married 6 times, this is the last one. One lady told me, she said, you don't understand, I've been married 5 times. I said, this is the last one, lady. Because God is on the inside. And I brought my own red marker tonight. I want to show you something. Now, here's the body. You remember the body? It's called flesh in the Scripture. It's called members. It's called temple. Called a lot of different things. I write in other tongues, too. Now, when you come to Christ, this spirit man is totally brand new. And I like to make him in red because he's washed by the blood of the Lamb. And you're blood bought. And something different happened to you. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2. We have to know these things if we're going to have success in our home. We have to make a commitment. And in making a commitment, we anticipate the change that God can make in us as we walk with Him. We used to sing, "Something happened when He saved me. It happened in my heart. It happened in my heart. Something happened when He saved me." Do you believe that? Old things passed away. Now, I love this scripture because it identifies something that's very important. Chapter 2, verse 2. Well, we'll start with verse 1. "You who were dead," say "were." Now, "were" is not today, that's yesterday. "You were dead in trespasses and sins in time past." Now, when is that? It's yesterday, isn't it? "You walked according to the course of this world." Now, when you walk according to the course of this world, and when we talk about children, I think we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. That's what children tell you. Everybody's doing it. Usually everybody's wrong, too. And that's what it means to walk according to the course of the world. Everybody's doing it. But I have to look on the inside because I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. See if I'm supposed to do it. See if a child of God would do it. Well, it says that's the way you walked in time past. You looked around, saw what everybody's doing, joined in. In time past. That means that's not what we're doing today. This is wonderful news. We've changed. So you've changed. You've been changed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been changed by the Word of God. Then it says, "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." The devil at work. Then it says, "Among whom also we all." How many of us? I'm so glad I wasn't alone. We all had our conversation. That word conversation always means behavior in the Greek. In times past. Now, when was this? Yesterday. In times past. Had a little girl used to say, last yesterday. This is last yesterday. Sometime in time behind us. In time past, you walked according to the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. When was that? Sometime yesterday, day before yesterday, last year, year before last, 5 years back. In time past means that is not what I'm doing today. Now the flesh rises up. It's a powerful foe. But by the Spirit, it'll have to go. It'll have to be tread under, crucified and sacrificed. You see, the flesh, that's what God said should be. And He said, crucify the flesh with the affections, which means passions and lusts. Crucify. Now, when you crucify something, you're not going to hear from it. In the natural, anything you crucify is not going to speak to you again. It's going to be dead. But we're going to be a living sacrifice, so if we crucify the flesh, we have to recognize the flesh as an enemy. We have to recognize that the flesh is going to lead us in the wrong direction. We have to know that God said, you used to be led by the flesh, you used to follow the world, you used to look around and see what everybody's doing and join right in. You used to yield to the sway of the devil, but that was in the past, and this is today, and something has happened to you. You've been changed. Something has happened to you. Now, I like change. I'm telling you, I move everything in my house. I'm the shiftiest person you know. And then sometimes I can't find it. I move my flowers. I move all my end tables. I move everything but the piano. And one time I persuaded Wayne to move the piano. We have a grand piano in our little bitty house. But I like it. I wanted it. I asked the Lord to send it to me, and He sent me a 1927 grand. And it is lovely, and it's there until I get tired of it and want to shift it and change it. See, you've been shifted. You've been changed. You've been rearranged. Now, if I know that, I know I'm not the person that I was. And when my flesh rises up, I say, hey, wait just a minute here. What do you think you're doing? See, what destroys marriages and relationships is that I'm always concerned about myself. And the flesh is always concerned. It says, do for me. Bring to me. Give to me. I need this. You know, when Wayne gets up, I say, oh, while you're up, bring me a... And I said, will you turn that down? It hurts my ear. Did you lock the dog up? Would you check on the dog, please? And do you know that's the way of the flesh? What we're going to do tonight is identify the flesh, crucify it anew, put it underfoot. Next time it rises up, you're going to say, Because the flesh will lead you astray. Now, in time fast, that's the way you lived your life, but that's not today. Now, look at Romans. I love this passage. In Romans, hardest thing in the world for me to figure out was Romans 7:18. Finally, I just accepted it by faith and said, that's what God said, that's the way it is. He says, I know Now, when you know something, you're sure about it. Isn't that right? He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Well, can you believe that? How many good things are in the flesh? How many? Now, if I send you the store with a long list of things to buy and give you no money, how many things are you going to buy with my money? None, because I didn't give you any. How many good things are in the flesh? You know, sometimes we look in the mirror, well, this never happens to me, but some people can look in the mirror and say, good looking. Now I can look over Wayne's shoulder, he's still good looking to me, and say good looking, especially since he's gotten thinner. He has. He's lost about 40, 50 pounds. And say, good looking. You are one good looking man. But the flesh begins to peruse the crowd, see if there's any other good looking men. See, when we recognize the way of the flesh, we say, Becky, don't you dare. And there's someone on the inside that's going to help me recognize the flesh. Now, here's the most interesting thing. How many good things in the flesh? I don't want you to forget it. That's amazing, isn't it? I struggled with that for years, trying to figure that out. Finally, I just said, okay, God, you said it. I believe it. That's it. And then I found that Jesus said it. Keep your finger in Romans. Let me show you where Jesus said it. Most amazing thing. Because we promote our flesh, and we say, well, that's how I feel about it. I'm sorry, that's just how I feel. Well, you know how I am. Well, I've always been that way. But see, there's commitment, and then there's change. Now look at the words of Jesus. 6:63 of John. Jesus said, the spirit quickens, the flesh profits nothing. How much profit in the flesh? How much profit in the flesh? Why do you suppose the word of the Lord says, crucify the flesh? Huh? Because no profit in it. Now, if I brought you an investment, and I said, this investment opportunity isn't going to pay off. It's going to lead you in the wrong fact. You're probably going to lose money. But what I want from you is $10,000. Are you going to be interested in that kind of a deal? Because there's no profit there. And yet knowing there's no profit in the flesh, the flesh profits what? And knowing that as a sinner, I catered to my flesh. I still, from time to time, you know that wives get tired of being submissive. Don't you? Just every now and you think, now by golly, we're going to do this my way. And see, when I contradict the word of the living God, there's going to be no profit in my life. I'm going to be destroyed. Scripture says, if you bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed. And the translators say you'll be annihilated. And marriages are annihilated when we cater to our flesh. Now, you know, out in public, if you are in my way, I just wait on you to move. You know, I do not walk slow. That really gets to me. I do not stroll anywhere. I'm always in a hurry. I have a destination. I know what I want. I want it to be on the rack by the door, by the way. I'm not much of a shopper. And when you get in front of me and you're just watching the scenery, strolling along, I mean, I have to bite my tongue. But I do bite it. Why? Because I'm a new creature and because I'm a Christian and because Christians are kind. And I'd never go and say, look, old lady, get out of the way. Walk on the right, walk on the left. I'm in a hurry. See, some things you do in public, you need to bring to your house. H-O-M-E, home. Now, if Wayne's in my way in the hall, I say, for heaven's sake, Wayne, move. Wouldn't I? And you know, I'd be wrong. I'd be wrong. See, when I recognize the flesh, I know it's not been crucified. I need to put another nail in the coffin. Now, you have to want to change. I know, because I talk to people, some people are just, what they want in marriage is for their partner to change. I want Wayne to change, to pacify me, to be everything that I need. I'm not so concerned about what he needs. You don't want change. You won't have change. You'll be consumed. Your marriage and your relationships will be annihilated. That's what the scripture says. But if you make a commitment, and you know with every commitment becomes change because we're not, if we were perfect, we wouldn't have to change. Now here's what we do. Wayne used to like to hunt. I hate that. But when we were dating, I thought, I'll just go with him. He is so wonderful. And I trucked all over the field after the dogs. And I did like watching the dogs, fascinating, trained dogs. But after a while, I thought, you know, I'm not having any fun. And the weeds are hitting you and biting you. And I said, you know what, you go right ahead, I'm going to truck. And you know, after we got married, how many times I went hunting with him? None. Never again. But in the beginning, I was gracious, and I was, what do you want to do, honey? And I said, look, I'm not going, I don't want to go. He'll say, you want to go to? I said, no, I really don't. I'm too tired. He said, I thought I needed it. I said, I don't care. Go by yourself. You get my drift, don't you? The way of the flesh, the scripture says, is death. That's death, dread, destruction, despondency, despair. I call those the deadly D's. When I follow the flesh, you get death, you get destruction, you get annihilation. I've got to recognize that's what the flesh would do and put the flesh under. Now, I brought you my favorite thing. This is, somebody always asks me what I'm reading, so I'm going to tell you in advance. This is the Contemporary Parallel New Testament. I like it because it's got all the new translations in it. And I want to read you something from the Contemporary. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's identify the flesh. Want to? Because what are we going to do with the flesh? We're going to crucify it. Why are we going to crucify it? Because it's not profitable. You want a profit in your marriage, you want to live like you're living. My, I like profit. Now your translation, oops, let me turn my other Bible, Galatians chapter 5, says the works of the flesh, verse 19, chapter 5, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and there they're listed. Now look, this translation. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these results. Here it is. If I let my flesh rule me and I don't allow the new creature, the spirit on the inside, to control me, it says these are the results. Now I'll read them to you. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, that's the flesh, your lives will produce these results. And then we have the list here. Now, verse 19, I leave alone. I leave that for pastors. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's what the flesh will do. That's not what the flesh does some of the time. It's what it does all of the time. If you let your flesh decide, this is what it's going to do. It says that's what's going to manifest. That's what's going to be revealed. Your flesh is going to look around, even though you're married, and pick out the best hunk in the crowd and see if you can get him to respond to you. Because that's what the flesh does. That is what the flesh will do. Now look at these words. We're not going to do that, so we don't talk about it anymore. Hatred. See, the flesh says, I hate you. And yet in the spirit, when we come to the fruit of the spirit, the first fruit mentioned is love. I love that. Love. The flesh says, I hate you. I despise you. I hope you'll get what's coming to you. You know, you're some kind of a creep. And it always responds that way. And if that's what I find myself doing, I say, Becky, 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 you're a Christian. You're God's kid. You're in the kingdom of light. The blood of God has been shed abroad in your heart. So rise up in the love of God. Crucify the flesh. Put another nail in the flesh and put it underfoot. And do it now. Because it says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and we're commanded by Jesus to love one another. And if I yield to my spirit always says, I love you. In fact, it says the spirit can love the enemy. Can you imagine that? Somebody that persecutes you says all kinds of ugly things about you. It says all manner of evil. In other words, every dirty, rotten thing they could think of to say about you, they said. And you said, I love her, Lord. I hope you reach her heart. I love her, Lord. I love her, Lord. I love her, Lord. And I don't talk ugly about you. In the spirit. See, there is a war between the flesh and the spirit. And if I yield to the flesh, the scripture says I'll die. That doesn't necessarily mean physical, but everybody dies physically, you know. I read years ago a lady, very, very ill, decided she needed help. She heard about healing meetings, and so she was sick. She decided she'd go to a healing meeting, but the scripture that day was on love, and it was on love one another. She was so overtaken by the scripture and by the lesson, she hadn't spoken to her brother in 18 years. See, if you live by the flesh, you're going to make the wrong decision. You're going to do things that are not going to profit you. And not only are they not going to profit you, they're going to bring annihilation, death, dread, destruction, despondency, and despair. So she decided before she got the healing line, she'd run across the street and call her brother. That's the day of payphones. So she did. And she got him on the phone. And he said, oh, I'm so glad you called. He said, I've been thinking I should call after all these years. I should apologize. I was wrong. She said, no, I was wrong. He said, no, no, it's my fault. She said, no, it was my fault. Please forgive me. He says, will you forgive me? I'll forgive you. And she went over to get in the healing line. Before she got in the healing line, she discovered she's already well. The way of the flesh brings death, destruction, despair, despondency. It'll cause you to be consumed and annihilated. That's why we're so careful to crucify it. That's why we're so careful to recognize it. If it's listed in this list, it says such like, so this is just the beginning of things. Now, most of these words in verse 20, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, have to do with disagreement. I was so taken by heresy. You know, you think you know what something is till you read it. This is what it says about heresy. Let me find it. I'll tell you where I'm reading it. Heresy is the feeling that everyone is wrong except you. I went, oh. I wanted to bite my fingernails. See, you thought you knew what it was. I do that all the time. I know Wayne's wrong. First of all, he doesn't have the strength of mind or memory that I do. I know that. So I figure I remember it and he probably doesn't. Is that what you do? I mean, I don't know what you do. I'm just telling you what I do. And when I read that, I thought, we got to stop that. We got to stop that. We got to stop that. The other thing I do is I'm really big on, we've never done that before. We always make that mistake. Wayne's come what of an exactus. He says, no, we haven't always made that mistake. We've made it several times. And see, when you recognize the way of the flesh, you say, I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Now, here's what we're going to do. You know, I've taught long enough to know people don't do what you tell them to. If you give them a homework assignment, they don't do it. So I just have classroom assignments. Look at your neighbor. We're going to practice. This will be good for you. Pick a neighbor, pick a friend, look them right in the face and say, I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Now look at your other neighbor. I know you probably need more than one practice run. Say, I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Oh, one more time, just because it helps you. Say, I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I will do better next time. Will you? We don't want to live our life like sinners. That's what Ephesians 2 says sinners do. They just let their flesh run rampant. You don't want to live like a sinner. You're not a sinner. You're God's kid. I can tell by the smile on your face. Now look at 1 John. You're God's kid. Let me prove to you what this great, big, wonderful God has done in you. Chapter 3, verse 14. Here's another one of those we know things. I love the scripture when it says we know, because I know we don't have to question this, be insecure about this, think maybe this is true, sort of true, almost true. We're certain of this. We know we have passed from death unto life. What is the sign that you're no longer spiritually dead, that now you're a new creature? How can you know that you're a new creature? How can you know that you're born again? This is how you know you're born again. This is how you're going to know it. You ready? Because we what? Love the brethren. Amazing, isn't it? He that loves not his brother abides in death. Now look back at Romans 7. Verse 8, chapter 8. We'll just read a couple verses. You know, it says the flesh is into variance. Variance is different opinions that cause disagreement. We do that even on minor things. I think it was white, and Wayne thinks it was light blue. And I said, no, I'm sure it was white. Today, a friend died. We saw it in the paper. She was 88, so it's okay. For her to go be with the Lord, it was time. And I said, you know that so-and-so's mother? And Wayne said, no, I don't think so. I said, I'm absolutely certain it is so-and-so's mother. He said, I'm sure it's not. I said, well, I'm going to think about it a minute, because I believe I'm right. That's what a heresy is, when you're always certain you're the one right. And that's just me. My, I needed this lesson. Because I'm going to change. I made a commitment to Wayne Cumby. I made a commitment to my God. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm going to say so, and I'm going to change. So I thought about it, and I said, you know what? That is so-and-so's mother. I know that. I've thought about it, and that's right. You're not right about this. I know I'm right. So we had a meeting this morning at church. I went to church, and I said, I'm going to ask this lady, because they were friends. And I said, you know, so-and-so, she was 88. She went home to be with the Lord. She said, oh, did she? How wonderful. See, death is a wonderful thing when you're finished. That's right. She was finished. It's a wonderful thing when you've done all. And she'd done all. And I said, no, that was so-and-so's mother. She said, oh, no, that wasn't so-and-so's mother. I said, you sure that wasn't so-and-so's mother? See, I'd already put my foot down. I already said it was so-and-so's mother, but you know what? I was wrong. It wasn't so-and-so's mother. She said, oh, no, you remember that her daughter is so-and-so. I went, then I had this flash of light. I thought, that's it. Now I remember that. Well, what are you going to do? You know what most of us do? Shame on you. You pretend like you didn't say it. Stick your nose up in the air and maybe he'll forget it. Well, now Wayne might forget it because he's very forgiving. But the shoe's on the other foot. I'm not going to forget it. I have a strong memory. It's been a blessing and a curse. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you moved in the flesh, spoke in the flesh, acted in the flesh, if you were selfish and unkind and jealous and envious and boastful, you were wrong, and you need to say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I will do better next time. Yeah. So here's what I do. Here's wives, I'll give you a tip. I try to help point out. I say, is there anything at all you'd like to say to me? You're just giving him a hint, you know, just in case he doesn't recognize he was wrong. And usually he can't think of anything he wants to say. And I said, now you sure? You sure is there? You sure there's nothing you want to say to me? And I finally, after about the fourth time, said, you didn't want to, he's taking my picture. So you didn't want to apologize or anything? And if he's mad, you know what he says? No, he didn't want to apologize. I'm just telling you, we live on the same page you do. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. Now look at your neighbor one more time. See, forgiveness fixes the marriage. Forgiveness is the bridge between the flesh and the spirit. Say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I will do better next time. And what you do, ladies, is while he's saying that, next time have your tape player running. If you can't get him to say it, you can play it back for him. You know, people are different. And whereas I'm verbal, Wayne is not verbal. And where I think we can settle it if we discuss it, he thinks we can settle it if we just forget it. And one's on the right side of the road, one's on the left side of the road, but the truth is always somewhere in the middle. Some things need to be said and some things don't need to be said. You need to know, lady, when to turn loose of it. I'm telling you, if you don't turn loose of it, you're going to lose that old boy. You hear me? The other day I thought I'd be sneaky. You know, Wayne's not like this. He's just easygoing. He just meanders through life. Somebody said, "Where's Wayne?" I said, "He's either on Main Street, First Street, Central Avenue. He goes right down the center of everything. He doesn't go to the left or to the right." I said, "If you ever get lost, I'm going to tell him, check Main Street, Central Avenue, First Street. He ain't going to be anywhere else, I'm telling you." And me, I'm taking these detours, fleshly detours, that I have to come back to myself. Then I have to say, "I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I will do better next time." Well, I thought I'd be sneaky, so I thought I'd just leave him a note. There's someone on the inside. Well, I wrote the note. He doesn't know this. I wrote the note and I taped it up where it would be obvious for him to see. And I've been meditating in the love scriptures. So you have to meditate in those all the time because the flesh is strong. It always wants to say, "I hate you. I hope you get what's coming to you. You get out of my life. You do that to me one more time. That's the fifth time you've done that to me, and so help me." And you have to keep saying, "I am patient and kind. I'm not jealous, not envious and boastful." See, I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I'm planting the word of the Lord in my spirit. Well, I did tape the note up. He wasn't home. I got thinking about it, and I thought, "Whoo, you better go take that down and throw that away before you get in big trouble, before you cause a fight." See, the flesh causes fights. Dissension, strife, variance. There's two kinds of anger in the scripture. One is outburst. It's wrath. It's like, "Pang!" I mean, you just easily triggered. And the other is you smolder like the coals of a fire. You're just seething on the inside. And any minute now, you're going to do something vile, like, I don't know what you do, slam a door, go down the hall, not come out for 6 weeks. Now, you laugh at that. I know the lady that did that. Say, "I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I will do better next time." I couldn't decide. What do you do with somebody that's been pouting for 6 weeks? I gave it a brief thought, and I thought, Lord, maybe send somebody else. Send somebody else. Now look, let's read a couple of scriptures because we have to quit. Look at verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Uh-oh. You know, somehow we think it's okay. You know, if Wayne hollers at me, it's not okay. If I holler at him, it seems okay to me. Now look. Verse 12, "Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." Translators say, "We have no obligation whatsoever to do what the flesh wants to do." No obligation. Why? Because the ways of the flesh bring death. They bring destruction. They even bring disease some of the time, not all of the time. Now look at verse 13. This is what I've been telling you. If you live after the flesh, what's going to happen? What does it say is going to happen? If I allow the flesh to lead my life. Now here's what I want you to see that's so important. We quote this verse 14 all the time. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And we quote it out of context. Now it works where we quote it. We say the Lord will lead you whether or not you should buy a new car. And it works there. So the Lord will lead you whether or not to buy a new house. The Lord will lead you whether you need to believe for a promotion or a new job. The Lord will lead you. But that isn't the heart of this scripture at all. It's talking about the way of the flesh and the way of the spirit. It said if you follow God, the Spirit of God will lead you to obey your human spirit and to crucify the flesh. That's the context and the heart of that verse. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the sons of God, allow the Holy Ghost who lives in the human spirit. He lives in here. It says, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Ghost and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We know that. He lives on the inside and he leads me every time to crucify the flesh, to know that the flesh is going to bring death. The flesh is going to lead me astray. It's going to annihilate my marriage. It's going to destroy relationships. It's going to upend all that's good and bring to pass all that's evil. And if I'm following the Spirit of God, if I'm led by the Spirit of God, he'll say, Becky, don't do that. And that's the context. That's the strength of this scripture. Now, it works for cars. Wayne and I went to buy a new car several years ago. And we got on the car lot, and I knew the minute I stepped on the lot, we are not buying a car here. Well, the salesman was gracious, and he said, he could see I'm reluctant, and he said, take the car and go to lunch. You know, you couldn't get rid of him. Christians have to be kind. You know, you want to say, look, God is not in this for me today, okay? So just get out of my life. Bug off. You cannot allow your flesh to do that to you. Sometimes I have to say shame on me, and sometimes I have to say shame on you. Isn't that right? Well, we went to lunch, and I told Wayne over lunch. He knew it. We agreed. God's not in this. It's just not in it. I don't care how bad I want it. I did want it. That's a beautiful car. It's in my price range. I can do this. But someone on the inside, that same someone on the inside sees you fixing to raise your voice, sees you fixing to hate somebody, sees you fixing to cause an argument or disagreement, that same Spirit of God on the inside says, don't do that. The Spirit of God that said, don't buy that car, is the same Spirit that says, you are fixing to make a mistake. Don't do that. And if I yield to Him, here's what's happened. Here's the good news. Oh, we have such good news. Look at verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity. The mind following the flesh is the enemy of God. Every time you yield to the flesh, you're moving as God's enemy. Not as His son, not as His child, but as a child of disobedience. Then it says, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But what happens if I'm spiritually minded? What happens? Oh, there's the wonderful news. Life. 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 Life and peace. We sing peace like a river. Get out of my way. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. He does that one more time, so help me. In my soul. I got peace like a river. That's the slowest mortal on the face of the earth. Peace like a river. The only way you can have peace is listen to the Holy Ghost. Listen to the Word of God and obey. It's not the listener who wins. It's the one who listens and what? See, we're not out to accumulate knowledge. It's not, oh, I know how to do that. You know, I could take the plumbing book. I could read all the codes, memorize the codes, go take the plumbing test. Doesn't mean I could fix the sink. I'm smart enough to pass the test, but I'm not quite smart enough nor strong enough physically. If I'm going to pass the plumbing code and fix the sink, I'm going to have to yield to the Spirit. You're a spirit being made in the image of Almighty God. And when the Spirit reigns, you have life and peace. When the flesh controls, you have annihilation. You are consumed. You have death and destruction. You have to make the commitment. And then because you're not perfect, you have to decide, because of the Holy Ghost on the inside, I am going to change. You see, I say that because I talk to people, and when it's all said and done, they're not going to change. They don't want to change. They want to be happy. They want you to make them happy and you to do things their way. And you are going to make them happy, but they are never going to be happy until the Scripture says we have to prefer the brethren, we have to serve one another, we have to esteem others. That means I have to place more value in you than I do in myself. See, if I go for ice cream, I prefer coconut. If you say you want vanilla, not really. You want chocolate, not really. You want strawberry, absolutely not. So what do you prefer? What's more valuable to you? It's coconut. or mint chocolate chip. I could go in that direction. It says you have to prefer the other man. I'm not concerned about my life. I'm not concerned about my need. I'm concerned about what does Wayne need? What helps him? What fixes things? I loved one woman. She said, she told me her husband came home in a really bad mood, and she says, I know how to fix that. Your concern, lady, is not about yourself or your need. If it is, you're in the flesh. Your concern, sir, is not about yourself or your ball game or your golf game or your fishing buddy. Your concern is that little woman that sits by your side. You have to prefer her, to esteem her highly. She's first, and he's first. And you can only do that if you listen to this someone on the inside. See, he'll whisper to you. He'll say, I wouldn't play golf today. You probably need to go home. And then you're going to pretend like you're hard of hearing. And then when you get home, you're going to know you should have gone home and skipped the golf, because the greater one on the inside knows what's happening, and he'll put you over. Now look, say, I esteem others. I value others over my own idea, over my own concept, over my own will. The flesh said, in the past, do for me, follow me. But I've been changed, and now I follow the Spirit on the inside, and he makes me successful. Amen? God bless you.